Bears a Microsoft Office 365 MVP who knows practically everything there is about Office 365. He does stand-up events talking about Office 365. He writes about Office 365 on his blog site, and he does in-person training sessions and training videos about Office 365. There's also me, Mark Keane. I'm the voiceover guy and producer of this podcast. I'm also a Microsoft Azure MVP and a Microsoft Azure architect, helping people move to Microsoft Azure and consume it by helping them to make sense of it. This is a Need to Know podcast with Robert Crane and Mark Keane.
Contact us by email.
Feedback@needtoknow.cloud. It's your destination for anything Microsoft Cloud, including Azure and Office 365.
And Office 365.
And Office 365. And Office 365.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and aside from technical difficulties and challenges on the other side of the world, I have Mark Keane via the interweb. Mark, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Crane, episode number 119.
Man, we're only one away from 120. Who would have ever thought the day would come when we would reach 120?
I would never have thought that whatsoever.
No, not after this morning's technical challenges, at least morning for me. Where are you at this point in our experience?
Me in room 1706 of the Western Bellevue in Seattle, US.
So, let's ask the obvious question. Why are you all the way over there?
Well, if you remember the last podcast we recorded, which was episode 118, we were talking about me flying over to the US on the next day to go to the MVP summit.
So they let you in the country. Amazing.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty funny because we landed on an early Thursday. We relived Thursday twice in a row. So Thursday the 3rd, we left on Thursday the 3rd in the morning. We arrived before we left on that same Thursday. And as we got in, we were treated like cattle because we came through immigration and they had to go up and down, zigzag through these lines that had no people in there. And we were literally treated like cattle, like a number. There were so many people coming off a few planes at once. And then I had to do the old fingerprint thing, go through to the security. They had a look at the passport and straight through. So, yeah, not really any problems at all.
No, it's excellent. And then, obviously, the connecting flight up to lovely Seattle and then settle in. And then the experience of the MVP Summit, which obviously was your first time. So what was that all like?
The MVP Summit was a very awesome experience. It was like completely different to what I expected because not being there before, I originally thought the MVP Summit was just a place you go where you mingle like in a big room with all these other MVPs and everybody just chats in a like an unordered or unorganized fashion. But it wasn't like that at all. So there was a whole bunch of sessions that you register to go to. So there's different tracks. So for example, I'm an Azure MVP. So there's an Azure track. And Rob, you're like an Office 365 MVP, which is, I think, Office Servers and something else.
Services.
Yeah, Office Servers and Services. So there was a track for that. So based on what track you're at, you went to the sessions for that track, which were all based in the same sort of area. So luckily for us, the Azure track was the biggest. There's more Azure MVPs than anyone else because we had the building number 33 at the Microsoft campus, which is the Information Center. It's where the events are held. And they've got massive big rooms there. Like theater style rooms where you can sort of go in and somebody's at the front. So we didn't really have to move around that often from building to building, which was quite luckily they had all the Azure stuff in one building, which is quite nice.
Excellent. All right. And obviously your first time to the Microsoft campus. And what did you think of Bill's playground up there?
My God. Yeah, that's the other experience is we had a meeting because we went a couple of days earlier than when the summit began. So we were there on Thursday. We landed Friday. The next day, we had a meeting in the morning at Microsoft at the main headquarters there. And me and Stefan were sitting downstairs in the lobby, and we were thinking to ourselves, how are we going to find the address and how are we going to get to Microsoft, because we need to get an Uber to Microsoft, and had to find the address for it because there's so many buildings. So anyway, we then came up with the story of, you know, one Microsoft Way was the address, because everyone knows that Microsoft's got number one at all of their places. So that's the address we used in the Uber. So Uber took us up the highway from Bellevue to Redmond to one Microsoft Way. We got out, and the building was a no-name building, didn't have Microsoft written on it, and it wasn't the main reception for Microsoft. We walked in there and spoke to the lady behind the desk, and we found out very, very quickly that no, Microsoft don't have like a main reception area. Every building is different. Every building has different employees in there. You don't know what building is what part of Microsoft, because it's for security reasons. But each building has their own like receptionist downstairs during office hours. So in fact, there's not just one Microsoft building. There's actually up to 100 of these buildings scattered across Redmond and Bellevue. It's phenomenal the amount of buildings they've got.
Well, they do have a lot of employees, and they obviously need to put them in there and feed them caffeine and chocolate, make sure they keep programming merrily away. So obviously, yeah, it is a bit of an experience to go and have a look and obviously see the size of it. So that's obviously something. Now, the other thing obviously is that part of the MVP Summit is that they do sit you down and tell you a lot about what's coming with Microsoft. But the unfortunate thing is I don't think you can reveal any of that, because it's all locked away under NDA for the time being, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Now, just on that, this is the other thing. When I was going there before, thinking that it was going to be like an Ignite or a Tech Ed, where there's more people for a start. So, for example, the Ignite had about 50,000 people. For this event, they only had nearly 2,000 people, much, much less people. The Ignite sessions are more inputs only, where somebody's up the front talking and you're just listening, and you're not giving anything back because it's the general populace. MVP summits are completely different. The sessions are more, they're done from the main people from the product teams in your area. So for example, we had people from Azure IaaS. We had Corey Sanders, literally like meters away. Scott Guthrie, meters away. And all the other program managers, the directors of each team were up there on stage. And the format was completely different. So talking about the NDA stuff, the second slide, so the first slide was the intro slide for each session with the person's name on it and so forth. Then the second slide was the standard slide about no photography, nothing like that, because it's all NDA and just a reminder about that sort of stuff. And then they got into it. And as soon as they got into it, it wasn't an input session at all. It was more like an open forum where all the MVPs in the room could shout out at any time, and rather than ask a question, it's more of a feedback, more of a question sort of thing. So the same sort of format sort of followed through with every session, where the talker up the front would talk about the roadmap coming, all NDA stuff, and they would talk about sort of current issues, and they would ask the audience, they'd say, all right guys, what issues have you currently got with such and such, and we'd basically shout out whatever issues we had, and kept it like an open discussion, and gave our feedback back, good or bad, to the product managers. And you know what? They took it quite well. They actually, you could tell they really loved having us there, because it was very important for them to hear feedback back from the MVPs. We are the ones sort of closest with the ear to the ground, hearing all this stuff, all the complaints from users or non-complaints from users. But we were definitely treated like royalty. They were very, very nice. They genuinely did like us having being there hosted at the Microsoft headquarters, because of that whole reason, that the fact that they can be close to us, and there is only a small number, and they do really thrive on that feedback that they get from us.
So what is the total time period that the summit runs for? How many days does it actually take place over?
Well, it started on Sunday. So we got there on Thursday. We relived that. Friday morning, we had the meetings at Microsoft. And then Saturday, we went to the Boeing factory. And then the Sunday morning, mid-morning, we had registrations at the Hyatt hotel. So that's where everyone went to register to get their, give their name and show their ID, pick up their pass. So people have obviously registered already, but that's where you pick up your pass, you know what I mean? And then you go and have lunch, come back, and there was an afternoon session that was technically not like an MVP, like a Microsoft technical session. It was more like a precursor to the whole MVP summit. And for that, we had a guy called, you might have heard of him before, James Whittaker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's such a great presenter.
Yeah, he's a great presenter.
He did a talk on the art of storytelling. Now, that was when he opened up, when he came in, and the audience, they had all the MVPs in there in the one room, a huge room, huge turnout. He had everybody engaged. And when you start your talk, you don't say who you are. You don't even just give out the details. People tend to just read off the slide. They just go detail, detail, detail. People don't want that. The fact that he can, he told, his point was, whatever you do a talk or an event, tell a story. And then the idea is you have certain characters that you can put into your story. So for example, he told a story about when he met Bill Gates for the first time, and he pointed to this guy in the audience and said, all right, you're Bill Gates, I'm going to come over to you and blah blah blah. So he actually acted it out. Part of the story is talking to the one guy in the audience. Then he had another story of some guy who kept shouting out to him at all these past events, asking about security questions like this, like acting like an asshole. There's always an asshole in the story. he swore, like he said the F word and everything else. But this is him. He was very engaging. He kept reminding people on what he was saying, what he was talking about. He kept like delivering the valid points at different parts during his talk. He wouldn't go into detail as much. He slides a very basic and to the point. But you know what? It rang true, and it was such a good session to start with because everybody was engaged, and that is pretty much the way that Microsoft want the MVPs, by the look of it, to go and do their presentations and their events when they go and talk to people. Because essentially that's what we are, is like marketing people for Microsoft. So they're like filling us with this information from James Whittaker. And James Whittaker is not new to this. He actually has sessions where he trains people at Microsoft the art of public speaking and getting up and talking to people, but not talking to people, talking and engaging them with the art of storytelling and things like that. So, yeah, James Whittaker is a distinguished engineer, and the reason why he got that way is because when he was at Google, he went to Google for a few years, and he was made famous by taking the test plan down from, I think it was several hours, down to 10 minutes. Like how to do a test plan in 10 minutes. And the way he managed to get that done was basically like sort of telling a story to all the developers at Google. But there's if you go online and Google search 10-minute test plan from James Whittaker, back a few years ago, there's an article there about how he did it. But he was very influential the way he spoke to people, and with his storytelling, it just came across very, very powerful stuff.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. He's got plenty of stuff up there on Microsoft. We'll put some links in the show notes. Certainly worthwhile having a look at his material and the way he does present. Again, he's a real one to make sure that you do spend your time and have a look at. So what was the highlight, would you say, of the days that you were at Summit?
The highlight was, I mean, the Summit was a lot of... it was like any other session, other event that you go to, in that you could only sort of have so much information coming in. You'd sort of be overwhelmed with all this information, information overload. But look, we used it as a good excuse to go and meet up with the Microsoft people themselves, the product team. So I had meetings set up with some people ahead of time. But those meetings that we had with the people then branched out to other meetings. So, for example, the first guy we met on the Friday, he said, oh, by the way, have you met such and such? You should catch up with such and such from the Azure Stack team or such and such from this team or whatever. So he would then mention it to us and then go and actually actively organize that in the background within the space of 24 hours and let us know that, oh, they've got meetings organized with these people. So the following week, we ended up having probably about four days with a few meetings on each day lined up. So we went around to the different buildings and met up with these Microsoft product people face to face to talk about what we're doing and stuff like that. So I think that was probably the biggest highlight, is because we've been talking to these people over Yammer and things like that and our communication channels and also sending them emails and things like that. But the fact that we've put a face to the voice and to the distant communication, it's made it much, much easier to know that actually we are here, we do exist. And last night I had because of all of that, we meeting up with all the product team, it managed to get and this is persistence as well. Persistence, you know this old story, persistence pays off.
Or the squeaky wheel.
Managed to get a meeting with Corey Sanders last night. So it was only a half hour meeting, wasn't massive, and so Corey allowed us to come and meet with him at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. So we were at building number 43, waiting at reception. We were 10 minutes early, and it was 6 o'clock, and I sent an email to him and said, "Oi, we're down waiting at reception, come down when you're ready." So anyway, 10 minutes later, he's down, he lets us in. So already we were 10 minutes late because he came down late. Not going to blame him, but he's a busy man. So in we went to a meeting room and we sat down. He goes, "Right, you got 20 minutes. I thought, "Oh, okay, 20 minutes with Corey Sanders. Go for it." Now, if you know Corey Sanders and the way he talks massively fast. And so that's what I did. I just talked fast back and I got...
Really? Not you? Minutes. Really? You talk fast?
Yeah, I got 40 minutes down to 20 minutes. And Stefan was there as well. We basically talked about what we came to talk about. And we got that done. And we still had time to discuss other things. But Corey had to quickly leave after that because he had to head off to the airport. He's since moved 5 weeks ago to New York, of all places. But apparently he's saying it's literally brutal, the fact that he's got to fly back and forwards. He's been flying back and forwards every week since he's moved to New York.
Well, there you go. It's amazing. Now, what about the contingent of Australians? At least there would have been some familiar voices, I think, over there. There would have been a fair contingent of Aussies over there with you.
Yes, we had Martin Abbott was there. BizTalk Bill, who's been on the podcast before, we ran into him. He went to make use of his time and saw a few games. He did there was a shooting range around the corner. He did on the Sunday evening. He went and saw the Seahawks play at the football. We also ran into Simon Waite from Cloud. He's another Azure MVP. Martin Abbott, which I've mentioned before, he's based in Perth. There were some people we met from New Zealand. There's some other people that you might know. Rob Dale Webster, you definitely know him. We met him. He's another MVP from the Office Servers and Services team or area of Microsoft. And I've been told to pronounce his name, Tao, from Melbourne, who's an MVP for 444 something. I can't remember. And Daniel Ma, another MVP. I think he's also based in Melbourne. But look, it was great. We met the people that I knew, plus other MVPs from Australia, because we had our own little breakout sessions, I think, on the Tuesday night. So all the different countries went to the different areas. So we went to the Hyatt downstairs at one of the pubs down there, and our local CPM, Lana Montgomery, came and gave out free little tickets for free drinks at the bar. And so there we are. We had finger food and drinks. And
so probably the biggest challenge by the sound of it is getting back to the world of reality. What's going to happen now? You've had all this information, you've had all this change of culture and water swirling around the bathroom the other way and light switches that do the reverse. How are you going to cope when you actually come back to the land down under?
Well, I think my stomach is going to get much, much, much better because, well, it's going to be a bit of, it's going to be nice to get back for a start. Like, it's always good to come back home again. But I think the fact that I've been here, I've made contact with all the Microsoft folk and I've got contact details. They know we've met them face to face to know who we are. We now have a better understanding of the MVP part and how it works. Because look, before I went there, I didn't really sort of fully understand the whole NDA thing because a lot of the information that we were getting before was not like that. We're talking to the other MVPs and the community leaders and getting tips and tricks from them and understanding how what they go through. So coming back, I think it's going to be much, much a lot easier with that in mind and to deal with the different sort of challenges that you come up against. But also too, like, it's just the simple things like breakfast in the morning, coffee over here. I've never found any good coffee anywhere, and every coffee I've had to put like one thing of sweetener in there to make it actually drinkable, whereas in Australia, like, I'd have a black coffee in with no sugar whatsoever. They don't have the breakfast options. They don't do toasted sandwiches over here, which I can't believe. I ordered a toasted sandwich for room service. I said to the lady on the phone, can you do a ham, avocado and ham, avocado and cheese toasted sandwich? And I said, look, you just put it in the toasted sandwich maker, two pieces of bread, make sure they're toasted, and deliver it. So the two toasted sandwiches came and they were just raw bread with not even toasted. So yeah, I don't understand why they don't have that, the basics of the breakfast that we have.
Well, the things that you see when you're traveling out and about. So well, again, it'll like I said, you bring back lots of information and experience, and obviously all those experiences as well. By the sound of it, you'd certainly do it again. So a big positive there, being through the Microsoft experience for the first time. The weather, what was the weather like? Was it all good, or was it raining as Seattle is? Or
we were really, really lucky when we first got here. It was cold and drizzly on the Saturday when we were at the Boeing factory, but other than that, the rain sort of stayed away. I was heard from one of the guys at Microsoft. They said, oh, did you bring the good weather with you? And I said, this is like out of the ordinary, really sort of unseasonable weather for Seattle. Like, the weather's not too cold. It's actually around about, what was it, about six, I think it was in Celsius, it was around about 25 degrees during the day, cold in the morning because it was obviously cold from the night before, but it got up to about 24-25 degrees with the sun out on the side because it wasn't directly above you, because the it's coming into it's in the middle of fall, coming into winter. But yeah, we were very, very lucky with the weather, and even today, like, overcast but hardly any rain. So yeah, very, very lucky.
All right, well, I think that we've probably covered the MVP Summit pretty extensively. Is there any other particular Azure news that you can let our listeners know before we dive into some Office 365 stuff?
How about you talk about your Office 365, what's been happening in that area? Because I've just been Azured out. I'll have a little bit of a short break. I'll let you talk about your Office 365 news, which I'm sure you've got some you've been keeping up, and we'll swing back to Azure after that, eh?
So probably the biggest announcement that we've had in the Office 365 world in Mark's absence has been the release of Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft Teams, many are touting as the competitor to Slack. So it's sort of a combination of Skype and Yammer with a bit of SharePoint thrown in as well. It's now available in preview, available to all the suites in the Microsoft range. Very mature product for something that's in preview. All the apps are available on the platform. So there's a Windows 10 app, there's an Android app, an iOS app. Basically, you just need to go into your tenant and turn it on. The tile doesn't quite appear just yet, so to get to it, you need to go to teams.microsoft.com once you have enabled it, and then you'll basically get a workspace. So, again, think of it like the ability to create, topics. So let's say management and then sub-channels. In there, you can have persistent chat. You can then go straight into a Skype meeting, which is then indicated in the stream. You can share files through a dedicated SharePoint team site, email, shared email list, shared contact list. So very, very interesting. And it is, again, an indication of the change that Microsoft's making to the Office 365 groups. So groups used to be typically a place to have a shared email contact and a place to put some files. But that has now become basically an entity which is shared across Office 365. So we're sort of seeing this move to a situation, I think, where rather than having individual siloed applications like team sites and OneDrive, everything's beginning to merge together so that different applications like Teams take advantage of different parts of the Office 365 services to bring them together to determine what suits your team the most. So very, very interesting, but very, very popular. A lot of reviews, positive reviews coming out there. It'll be interesting to see how something like Slack, which is a standalone product, integrates, but seems to be a lot of interest, a lot of people out there looking to play with Teams. So seen anything on the Teams side, Mark, in your travels?
Yeah, we've got one of the guys at work who he's been talking about Teams just the other day, actually, saying, here you go, jump on the new Teams and take a look. He's already put some stuff up there, so I've had a quick look at it. I logged into it and had a brief play, and yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously, it's not everybody's cup of tea, depends how you work, but it certainly seems to be the focus for millennials. So plenty of options there. I think now we're getting to the biggest challenge, I think, with Office 365 is a case of which tool do I use? And a lot of people may need to re-examine the way that they communicate in their business. If they want better communications, then they need to look at adopting some of these tools and using them to their fullest. So one of the easiest ways, I think, to get started is typically to use something like Yammer. So Yammer is not going away just because Teams has become available. Yammer will certainly serve a purpose, become deeper integrated with the other Office 365 products, but Yammer is a really good way to start opening up communications for very little impact inside a business. So a lot of people have come to me recently about wanting to migrate to Office 365, wanting to know where to start. Should I start with email or should I start with a SharePoint team site? My advice is to look at doing Yammer first and then get the buy-in from the business and then, again, expand it from there. But we're looking at such a platform of products now that, again, it's a matter of picking the ones that make sense. And then maybe 6 months, 12 months down the track, those products, those usages that you have in a business will change. So I think that's one of the things that we're seeing, one of the things that makes the Office 365 product stand out is that just the sheer number of options that are available. So they're pretty cool, I reckon. And again, things like Skype for Business I see is growing. The team sites, SharePoint's obviously undergoing a major revamp look and feel, the new responsive design, the way to create pages, all very, very encouraging. And again, hopefully towards the end of this year, we will see that complete on the SharePoint side, which means that it'll be ready for average use and everybody will be out there using it. And that will obviously, again, spur more uptake of the product. A couple other things.
So that's pretty cool. Because like with that, so there's a lot of different features coming out. Like Office 365 is jumping ahead and leaps and bounds, and all of these different things like Teams, Yammer, and things like that. Like I was listening to other people talk about it, but what would be nice is because there is so much, it without getting too overwhelmed by the whole entire feature set. Because I think you mentioned it before, most people the highest statistics of Office 365, the usage is generally Exchange Online, and a lot of the other stuff doesn't get used. But what would be good is to like say, all right, you want to do this, this is the best solution for it. Like for example, Office 365 Teams, or there's say Yammer, or there's what's the other one where everyone gets in together, you can see what people have been working on. What's that one again called?
they all sort of do that. But look, I hear what you're saying, but I think part of it is the biggest limitation is not the technology. The biggest limitation is the current business processes. So a lot of it is people are very comfortable with using files and folders and using emails. And again, they want to have be more collaborative. They want to share information, but they don't want to make the transition to the new technology. So, you know, why should I use Yammer? I don't understand it. Why have I got to relearn it? I think that that's the commitment that you need to have a look at. And I think the other thing that I'm trying to get across to people is there's no end to this, which means that, for example, if you develop a SharePoint intranet, today it may look like this structure, it may look like this environment may have these columns, but in 6 months, there's a good chance that it will look very different. It will serve a different function. Part of the SharePoint stuff may end up in a Microsoft team. It may be moved into Yammer. I think that's the thing. There's sort of no end point. I think people are still in a bit of this cycle of every 3 years we blow out a system and then we use that till the nth degree to the end of its life, and then we get an upgrade and we do it again. I think that we're in a situation now where it's constant upgrades, where it's constantly looking at your environment saying, right, is there a better way that I can do that? I have something now that works really, really well, and I understand that, but is there something better? I think they're the businesses that are successful, the ones that look at the tool set that they've got, look forward and say, you know what, why don't we try this, see how this works for this team? If this works great, that's fine, we'll keep using it. If not, we'll move on. So I think that, again, we need to get away from this thinking mentality where, you know, there's only one solution, there's only one way to do it, and that's the way that we use the product. We need to be more dynamic in the way that we utilize these tools, because they're given to us for free. They have so much functionality that very few people use. So one of the examples I read or saw recently was that a maintenance requirement, so if you've got a fleet of buses or public transport, the maintenance process used to be a bit of paper and you'd send it on an email and someone to get back to you, and it just wouldn't happen. So they converted that whole process into Yammer. So basically the people would use the Yammer app on their phone. They would take a picture of the requirement that needed maintenance, and then they would post that in Yammer and they would have the discussion in there. So they replaced that whole process basically in Yammer. I think that's the sort of direction we need to be to look at success these days, is to look at the tools and work out whether we can use the best this tool to do the job. Now, again, that may change, but again, we need to move forward and actually use some of these new tools and be a little bit of inventive. And I think they're the businesses that are successful, the ones that, you know, adopt the tools, are willing to give it a try, and then measure the results. And I'm seeing great results with customers I work with who are willing to embrace that and look at the adoption and the driving of technology and get away from this mentality of, no, this is the only way we've done it because we've always done it this way before.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. Actually, Delve was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah,
like Office Teams and...
Yeah, part of it is understanding what the technologies are. So a lot of people, again, haven't had Delve explained to them or don't understand what Delve is. I think that once, you know, you get a good overview, it makes sense. But again, I think if you look at the tools that Microsoft are providing, all the options, it's fantastic. It's just a matter of diving there and using it. And sure, it may seem overwhelming, but at the end of the day, a little bit of investigation can lead to huge gains in productivity. And Microsoft, again, providing us all the tools to achieve that, just a matter of becoming familiar with the tools and working out what works best for our organization. In some cases, Yammer may not work, but my experience is that Yammer is a very, very powerful tool that can reduce emails by up to 80% and actually get information out there and make it searchable, and also allow the team to participate throughout the organization. So it's a bit of a change of mentality rather than just being a technology changeover.
All right. What else you got?
What else have I got? Well, I have some Azure news, since you don't seem to have any up your sleeve. One of the options I see here is that Azure has just turned on detailed auditing and sign-in logs for things like Office 365. So we're going to be able to get some more detailed logins as detailed logs as to regards our login to Office 365. So administrators, that is going to be really, really handy to give them that more, that deeper level of information. We're also seeing, I'm seeing more and more uptake of the E5 license, the understanding of the benefit that it provides over the other licensing in security, and also things like Delve Analytics, which allow you to analyze your productivity how many emails you're sending, the interactions you have with others. So there's plenty of those features also flowing through. A lot of stuff still coming through from the Ignite session. So those sort of products that and features that Microsoft announced are now beginning to flow through into the product, which is great. So again, make sure that you do check your Office 365 regularly and your Azure to make sure and see what new options have become available to
you. From the session, you mean for Ignite for the US?
Yeah, correct. So the Ignite for the US was, like I said, something like a huge amount of sessions that are all available online. We've mentioned in a previous podcast. They're all worthwhile having a look at. If you've got a specific interest in, say, something like OneDrive for Business, there are plenty of sessions there. And example, they've released that new Sync client, which I've been using and using very successfully. So it certainly indicates that
yes,
Microsoft...
Yes, got no problems with that.
Yeah, it works really well. So
I've been using that as well.
There's plenty of good stuff coming, and make sure... And that's one of the really positive things I think I see with the Azure and the Office 365 world. The new stuff that's coming out, the improvements that have been made, you'll have an insight, obviously, thanks to the MVP Summit. But it's really, you know, shows you that Microsoft's dedicated and keen on bringing these products and making them available to the, basically to the audience and giving people those abilities to transform their businesses. And I think that's what really is exciting about all of this technology.
So on the subject of watching stuff from Channel 9 and from the Ignite session, we went to the Channel 9 studios, building number 25, and we recorded some sessions. But on the way out, I spoke to the guy who does the post-production for all the videos. How cool is that? And I said to the guy, hey, all the audio for the videos, because I don't know if you noticed, Robert, when you're listening to the videos on Channel 9, the audio is all over the place and not necessarily flat and beautiful.
Unlike this podcast, thanks to our beloved producer.
Well, exactly right. And like we use the same, we may use the same tools as what Microsoft use. And when I walked in there and had a look, I said, hey, you got to drag this across, this audio effect, you got to drag this across onto there. So it's basically the multi-band compressor in Adobe Audition, or you can use Adobe Premiere, whichever you want. The multi-band compressor, you drag it onto the audio track, and then you basically click on the drop-down box for the options and select broadcast processor. And that there, straight away, brings the audio up and makes it sound like $1 million. It's so, so easy and so, so quick. But I can understand, because the people are trying to edit the video, they're focusing on video only and audio takes a back seat to the video. But anyway, so I had a chat to the guy last Friday. We went back again to the studio today to do another session. I did a follow-up with the guy who was sitting there, and I said, oh, have you tried it? And he goes, yeah, I gave it a go the other day and loved it. Made a huge difference. So hopefully, with any luck, thanks to me, we should see an improvement for audio coming out in Channel 9 to make it much, much easier and less frustrating watching these videos sometimes. So the feedback has been got taken back. Now, other things that I have heard, I do have a couple of things, Rob, for Azure. So a couple of things I've heard is, and you spoke about OMS before, OMS's update and management solution, their update solution, which talks about Windows updates, and you install that part of the security and compliance value prop for OMS. When you install the update solution, it goes ahead and brings in all the telemetry from all the endpoints that you've got in your OMS solution, your workspace. And what it does is now supports automatic patching for IaaS VMs. So, for example, if you've got a whole bunch of VMs out there which is being monitored by OMS, if you want, you can set them up for automatic patching. So it means the update solution will know what machines you've got and what patches are missing and so forth. As soon as the updates are missing, you can set up schedules and say, right, patch these machines whatever time. Now, don't get confused. We're not talking about Azure updates for the physical host. We're talking about the virtual machine updates itself, the ones that you have to manage because it's IaaS. So that's really good news, and I think that's also too going to be coming to the on-prem world. So if you've got agents on-prem on other servers outside of Azure, that also is coming. So the other one, which is also pretty cool, they've just released a whole bunch of new functionality for Azure AD. Now, Azure AD, as you know, was the one of the only things that are left in the old portal for Azure. Just recently, because literally recently, like in the last couple of days, they've released a whole bunch of new functionality for Azure AD in the new portal, which is nicknamed the Ibiza portal. And the functionality they've allowed to come in, they've added, is all the application stuff for Azure AD. So, for example, you can create an application, for example, set up a service principal name, and the service principal names are there for reasons where you can automate logins to Azure subscriptions. So, for example, if you're running an app, let's say PowerShell, for example, is an app, you can set up SPNs in there, and you get a massive, big, long key. It's like a managed user account back on in the old on-prem days sort of thing. So you'd have your own user account, and then you'd set up like a managed user account with a specific password for a specific use case, for example, and it would have access to what you need to have access to within Azure, and then you basically give it permissions, you know what I mean? So yeah, so you set that up, but you used to be able to do that with PowerShell, and it was a bit of a nightmare. But now it's in the new portal, and they're really, really pushing all that functionality in the new portal now at a nice, fast pace. So definitely take a look at that. Oh, and by the way, a little tip for that too is there's a couple of different URLs. If you want to check out the new portal, normally you go to portal.azure.com. If you want to check out the new portal a little bit ahead, like one step in front, you mean like, because that's a production one, which is portal.azure.com. But if you want to look at the other portal, Azure portal, which is the version just before production release, it's ms.portal.azure.com. Or there's another one where you can have a look at as well called RC. So I think it stands for release candidate. So rc.portal.azure.com. So all of these are public facing, and it depends on which one you use. You might get a different experience. And also too, some of the times when you go to the new portal, you might find that the portal is not performing 100%. It has a few issues when it comes to refreshing, and sometimes you have to refresh your browser and stuff. But don't worry, I mean, you're not the only ones that are experiencing it. It has been pushed back to the team. The feedback has gone back to the guys in Redmond, especially at the summit. They did actually cop a bit of an earful. So, and they are aware of it. They are working on it, and they are like actively, there's a whole team that just basically focus on performance. So yeah, it's definitely front and center, a focus for the Azure guys.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that we're probably getting to the end of our time. We've shared a lot of information about experiencing the MVP Summit, some whinges about the American continent, which I'm sure that all our American listeners, I do apologize for that. So please let me in next time I do come to the country. Let Mark out on his way back to Australia. We'll look after him when he does get back. We've shared some information about Office 365 updates and some Azure stuff. With all that, is there anything else, Mark, before we round off for this episode?
Well, the only other thing is, by the time I come back, I would have been used to, because I've just recently gotten used to looking the opposite direction when crossing the road. Subconsciously, you look the other direction, but I've been nearly hit by a car a few times. The other part is this, is elevators. They go up in opposite directions without thinking. I've been not looking, I've been on my phone. I go to walk up on the left-hand side, but the elevator is actually coming down on that side. It's going up on the right. So this is like subconscious retraining that to work with the opposites of this side of the world, of the right-hand side. So by the time I come back, I'm going to be all screwed up again. So I'm going to have to get used to it again, but that's basically it. But other than that, I can't complain.
No, so you've had a good time. You've passed the muster, and they're allowing you to leave, so you can't have done any too much wrong.
No, it's pretty sad, actually. And if you follow me on Twitter, I've actually posted a whole lot of photos on there about having a bit of fun with, Rob, the grass, literally the Microsoft grass over there is lush. It's green. I don't know what type of grass it is, but you know what? If I can find out what grass it is and get it for me, I would rip up all the grass in my backyard at home and actually put this grass down. It is the best quality grass, I kid you not, I have ever seen in my life.
Well, I think the environment has something to do with the amount of water that they do get in that area of the world. So I think that does help.
But the whole campus is just the same quality grass is everywhere. Like the gardens are really upkept. Like the people that look after the place, it's definitely.
So you want people to obviously be interested and keen to come to work. So yeah, good grass means good productivity, more lines of code, and more bugs squashed. Isn't that what it's all about?
Not that type of grass.
Sorry. Okay. All right, well, I think that's basically all from me, and that's all from Mark. You can find me at DirectorCIA on the Twitter. Again, I'll let Mark let you know where you can contact us via email and his Twitter handle.
So the email is feedback@needtoknow.cloud, and the Twitter handle is @MarkKean, MarkKean.
Excellent. All right. Well, again, we thank everybody for listening. And again, don't forget to send us some feedback, some reviews on iTunes. Pass along our podcast to other listeners. We do like to grow our listener. If you've got any suggestions of what you want to hear on the show, any more details that aren't covered under NDA, obviously we're happy to oblige. So please get in contact with us. But with that, I'll call an end to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.